Bert.
Hey, Lucinda.
How are you?
Great, great. Had a lovely, relaxing, kind of extended weekend. We went away, went down to Charleston, South Carolina. Amazing town, first time. Got to see some historical homes, went on some tours, and got to see some great galleries.
Did you buy anything?
I did. They did. Don't tell John. But also got to go to the Gibbs Art Museum in Charleston. They had an amazing rotating collection that kind of called Statement Pieces. It was contemporary fashion design, and their Gibbs permanent collection kind of combined together to create this amazing exhibit that brought Alexander McQueen and like Gucci fashion and paired it with like a similar like piece of art from their permanent collection. There was one tartan piece. I don't know if it was Alexander McQueen or somebody. And then there was a portrait of an older gentleman wearing like a tartan scarf. So it was cool to kind of see the art and the fashion kind of imitating each other. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job. And, you know, kind of going back to what we saw at Boom, trying to curate pieces of art with fashion that was of the time is just a really good way to kind of not only just put paintings or prints up on the wall, but then make the space more 3D.
It really rounds out an exhibition.
Yes. Then got back on Sunday, and what'd we do?
We went to the opera. But before I dig into that, I have to share that Robert went directly from his Charleston flight to Philadelphia International to the Academy of Music to see Don Giovanni. And though we did not know what flight he was on, my husband found the only flight from Charleston to Philadelphia that morning, and I knew it was a direct one. And we tracked you through FlightAware.
Yes. I love it.
And as I was getting ready, I was like, okay, how much time do I have to dry my hair? 20 minutes. Totally can make this happen. And sure enough, listen, pro tip, FlightAware your friends.
Yes. Love that. Love that.
Okay, so Don Giovanni. Let's break it down.
Yes.
Sold out show. And there were people in the highest of balconies Academy of Music.
Every time I've been to the Academy, I've never ever seen people in the third tier. It was insane. People were like leaning over.
Yeah,
to see the show. Yeah, like, please. It's a long drop. But what an incredible experience to be in the Academy and to see a sold-out show. Not only a sold-out show for the opera, they sold out the entire season.
The only opera company in the United States to do so this year. So the story was really giving Dangerous Liaisons a little bit.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
And there was a touch of humor to the credit of the cast.
So great. I mean, this artistic interpretation of Don Giovanni was incredible. The bouncing ball along the ride with us. Yes. Yeah. There was color and there was vibrancy throughout the entire plot that really drew the audience in and kept them engaged into the story.
I was thinking throughout how simple the backdrop was, but with the use of the lighting and the props, it was able to transform from a garden to a plaza and maybe an interior. Something that you mentioned last week during the outro was the subtitles on the screen, which is above the stage.
Oh, yes.
And the opera is in Italian. I do not speak Italian.
Oh, you don't?
Despite living in Italy for 3 years. In the 90s,
What? Not even a lick? How did you get any of it?
Che oro sono, por favore. And that is, What time is it?
Oh, nice.
Vorrei un gelato, por favore. Oh. May I have an ice cream, please?
See? You're getting
just
it. That,
just the essentials.
Yes.
The fourth grade essentials, like andiamo. That's something that my parents used to yell at us all the time. Let's go. Andiamo, aspetta. Mm. Aspetta means stop. Okay, moving on. So I don't speak Italian fluently anymore. I have a few key phrases and words. But what was really nice is that we had subtitles throughout the performance.
It's very inclusive. And what Anthony, the president and general director, has been able to do this year is really make sure that the barriers of entry have been broken down, mm-hmm. and every audience member feels comfortable to be at the opera, which is great to see.
Mm-hmm. So do bring anyone who can read.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do buy an extra ticket.
Bring a friend.
Robert, besides the opera, I didn't get into anything last weekend.
That's okay. You do a lot with your kids. They have a lot of activities. I was on vacation.
So many activities.
Yes. But we'll go on to the conversation.
On to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Keelan Whitmore, Ballet X's rehearsal director and community liaison. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you again for the invitation.
So, Keelan, give us the Ballet X elevator pitch.
Ballet X pushes the boundaries of ballet. It moves it forward with visionary choreographers and collaborations with different designers from all over the world. And we're just trying to expand the vocabulary of contemporary ballet, which is something that makes it even more relevant, even more present, more for today's audience and for yesterday's audience and for the future and for everything. So it's really, really fantastic. It's more, I would say, sort of like a choreographer's mecca.
Oh, I love that.
It's really, really fun to come and work with our dancers because they're so versatile. They are, you know, well-trained in classical ballet, and they also have a contemporary background that makes them even more powerful. So it's really, really fantastic.
Lucinda and I on here previously have mentioned how welcoming Ballet X is to the audience member. To the audience member that is brand new to ballet and may be the first experience to the ballet world, where at the very beginning of each one of the shows, there is an introductory video. There's a welcome from the executive director, letting everyone know that they are in a safe space, that they have broken down any barriers and walls that could be found in other cultural institutions. And, you know, Ballet X has done a remarkable presentation over the years in kind of leaning more into sharing what it's like to put together a ballet from beginning to end and bringing the audience on that journey with them.
Yeah, inclusivity is something that I think goes hand in hand with creativity. You know, whenever you're creating something, you need the audience behind you. You need everyone and everything behind you in order to make sure that you're maximizing and leveraging all of your surroundings so that it can be a piece or a work that reflects what's going on in our lives. So that's exactly what Ballet X does. That's exactly what art does, you know. And so this is what's really fantastic about all of the shows that we do, including the one that's coming up.
What would you say the mission of Ballet X is?
It's exactly that, you know, bringing people together, bringing together different people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, and seeing how they can share a moment with something that is live, you know, that is elusive almost, you know, something that is a bit fleeting, perhaps, and how we can all share in that moment together and leave and have a discussion about what it is and how it made you feel and how you're going to move forward with your life.
That reminds me as well how the audience sticks around towards the end of each show because they want to be able to share what they experienced with the other audience members, with the dancers as they come out, with the staff. And so that they have a space to talk about what they just experienced. You don't always see that. Or have the opportunity.
That also informs our work, you know, like having that discourse is really, really important to, you know, how we move forward as artists, you know, not just as society, but as artists. And so hearing what people have to say, hearing from, you know, the small kid, what did you see on stage, to our, you know, our supporters that have been there for many, many years. What did you think about this piece? What did it make you feel? This is really, really a great way to continue to move the art form forward, I believe.
You have some upcoming shows. We won't get into the summer yet, but what do you have coming up in May?
We have our exciting Festival at the Man, Ballet X's Festival at the Man. And this is going to be, it's going to feature Jennifer Archibald's full-length work called Maslow's Peak. And this is really, really an exciting time for us as an organization, for the dancers, for Jennifer herself. This is, as I said, a full length, and it's a production of massive scale. It's really, really exciting.
On a huge stage, in front of a huge audience. I mean, to go from, I don't even know how many seats are in the Susan Roberts Theater.
Right.
And then now going to the Mann Center.
Yeah.
They were there last summer. And, you know, you don't even just have the seats to sit in. You have the entire lawn.
Yeah.
And you bring the entire community out to come and see ballet. It's incredible to go from what is like a more intimate space with the dancers in a smaller theater space to then this like kind of grand operation that has to happen at the Man.
I have a question real quick.
Yeah.
Does the scale of the Man permit this particular production in a way that the Suzanne Roberts Theater would not allow? I'm just thinking in terms of set design, and the plot of the ballet, which we haven't talked about, and I don't know if can talk about it. I have a little bit of the inside track on that, but that's up to you. But back to the scale, would you say that this ballet is particularly suited for a larger venue?
Well, this iteration is definitely created, you know, it's fabricated for the Man, for a massive sort of scale where, whether you're in the front row or in the back row or in the lawn, that you're able to really feel the intimacy and feel all of the storytelling that needs to transcend the proscenium, that sort of frame that happens, that's at the front of the stage there. But as with anything, any sort of constraint you have, if we were to move this to the Suzanne Roberts, we would find a way, you know, to make it even better and to make it very special for the Suzanne Roberts.
When you're going from that smaller stage to the bigger stage, or the bigger stage to the smaller, like, do the jumps get smaller? Do the movements get smaller? How does the dancer themselves have to change?
Perhaps there's a little bit more space moving side to side,
gotcha.
Because the proscenium is a little bit more narrow at the Suzanne Roberts than it is at the Man. But as rehearsal director, I'm always asking the dancers to really always think about letting their energy really transcend, transform, and move beyond the proscenium. It's really something that's really important, because whether you're dancing for five people or for 500 or 5,000 people, your energy wants to pierce through any sort of barrier that might be there.
There's still tickets available for the May?
Yes, there's definitely tickets available.
Perfect. I have mine.
Lucinda has hers. Yes. A lot of my friends have theirs as well. They're going fast, but we want to pack that place. It's going to be a really, really special moment in time, and you don't want to miss it. It's really, really fantastic.
Excellent. And then the audience can continue to see you over the summer, which is very unique for a ballet company who usually take the summer off. Can you tell us a little bit about the summer programming?
Yeah, the summer programming is also really, really exciting. I mean, in our fashion of creativity and always moving things forward, we have two new premieres, one by our choreographic fellow. Her name is Noelle Kaiser. She comes from Chicago, and she's going to be doing a new work. And then we have another work by Amy Hall Garner. She's been working with us for the past few years under the Toulmin Foundation. So this is her second time with us, and she's going to be creating a new work called The Petrushka Reimagined. And this is also in collaboration with Philadelphia Chamber Music Society and with Ensemble 132, which is a string ensemble based out of New York. So this is going to premiere in January of next year, but we are doing sort of a first iteration of that this summer. Then we'll have, we'll finish the program off with Matthew Neenan's The Last Glass, which is an audience favorite. Yes. With music by Beirut.
That's going to be incredible.
Yeah. So you gotta get your tickets to that as well.
Yes.
I have tickets to one of those.
So yes. We have three works, one older, and then two premieres.
And the summer series is going to be in July at The Man. And
at
then
the Suzanne Roberts Theater.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So the performance this summer is July 16th through July 20th at the Suzanne Roberts Theater.
I'm going on July 19th.
Nice. Is that a Friday?
Saturday.
That's Saturday.
Ballet X does so well with their collaborations. Lucinda and I had the pleasure of going to the, which I believe was the winter series, mm-hmm. where there was an amazing jazz band
yes.
on stage yes. That just showed up in the third act,
yes.
which was incredible to see as the curtains went up and there was a band on stage.
We were all blown away.
Yes.
Quite amazing.
The audience was blown away yeah. oh, in yes. that moment.
Yeah.
You heard a gasp.
And the piece was just powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly powerful, incredibly intimate. Incredibly touching as well. Yeah.
What's the process of trying to find these partnerships and to pair them with the dance pieces?
Mm-hmm. It's really a matter of there being a need. We want to collaborate. We would like to have certain elements coming together. And so with the artistic team or with people that we know in the community, we'll reach out and we'll start, you know, searching for someone who might be a good fit or someone that we don't know. And we see how the interaction happens. And I mean, that's the power of collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, like you never know what's going to happen. It's always going to be something new because those two people, those two organizations, these two entities never came together. And so they're creating something very new. So something new is born every time, which wow. is really, really exciting.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And so with that piece, Christine reached out to different people and then we got Luke O'Reilly's name. And then we paired him with Gregory Dawson, who was the choreographer. And mm-hmm. that was a long process of, you know, figuring out, you know, who they are and what works for them and what their mediums are and how they can let all that go.
Right. Yes. Right.
Which is really, yes. you know, that's the part, that's the hard part of collaboration, the challenging part, but that really does, you know, you walk away having learned something new, you know?
Keelan, can yeah. I ask you a question real yeah. quick? Was it you who got a shout out from Gregory Dawson in the pre-show film?
Yes.
From that?
Yes.
I thought so.
That's
y'all
true.
Came from the same school?
Well, we danced in the same company, not at the same time. Like,
gotcha.
Okay.
So, nice.
But we both danced in Alonzo King Lines Ballet, which mm-hmm. is based out of San Francisco. And Alonzo King is a visionary choreographer of our time right now. And so I was very fortunate to... we were both very fortunate to work with him. And so we come from the same sort of ideology or sort of same approach to dance. And so working with Gregory was wonderful. It was like being at home.
Okay, we're going to get back to Ballet X in a second. But Keelan, I wanted to maybe get your true Hollywood story, your origin story. How did you get into dance and how did it lead you to Ballet X?
Yeah, that's a story that began a long time ago.
You don't really look fun. A year over 21, by the way.
Stop it some more. I went to a creative and performing arts school in sixth grade. And so instead of gym class, we would take dance class. And so this curriculum behind learning dance was learning dance, becoming a dancer, and choreographing went hand in hand. So we would learn a step and then we'd work on that step throughout the week. And then we were tasked with the responsibility of creating a dance around that step. And so it was practice and theory, you know, going hand in hand. And then we also, whether you built the stage or you performed on the stage or you ran the show, you were a part of the show at some point. So this was a really, really fantastic school that I came from. And then I continued that, started dancing. They needed guys for Nutcracker. And I auditioned.
As they always do. Yes.
And then I started thinking, what is this ballet thing? I was really, you know, very lost. I'm 15-year-old in a class full of younger girls mostly. And then my teacher was like, you need to go away and train more rigorously. And so I went to Interlaken Arts Academy for my senior year of high school. And then I was sort of following the crowd and going to college. I went to New School, Joffrey Ballet School, New School University in New York for 2 years. And then got a job with Kansas City Ballet where I danced for 5 seasons. And then I also co-founded a dance company in Kansas City called Quixotic Performance Fusion. And then I relocated to San Francisco and danced with Alonzo King Lyons Ballet for 7 seasons. Oh. And after 7 seasons there, I moved to Europe. I moved to Germany and danced there for almost 10 years.
Which company was that?
In Germany, it was called Stadttheater Münster, Tanztheater Münster. So I started out classical. I went to contemporary ballet, and then I did this German Tanztheater thing, which sort of rounds out my career of having, you know, a classical background, sort of expanding that and bending the rules, and then throwing all those rules away, going to Europe and bringing meaning, bringing even more storytelling to dance, which was really, really fantastic in Germany. That was really fun. So that's my story. And then I retired. Actually, Gregory Dawson, the choreographer of that piece with the jazz band, he introduced Christine and I, and Christine Cox and I had a conversation, and it was like old friends meeting.
Wow.
We both had goosebumps thinking about like what we could do for dance in the dance world and the dance community with the organization itself. It was really, really a fantastic meeting. And now I've been with the company for about 1.5 years. I'm coming up on 2 years in August.
Oh,
yeah.
We're going to go into some rapid fire questions.
Wonderful.
If you could describe the Philly art scene in one word, what would it be?
Vast.
Ooh, I like it.
No one's ever said that.
I like
There's
that.
There's a lot going on. I've barely scraped the surface.
You're at every show that I go to. So
I'm at every show.
You're trying to scrape the surface.
Definitely. Well, there's a lot to offer, and it's all very authentic and all very honest, and it's trying some things out, and I really, really like that because then it's getting my head to, you know, think about other things in different ways. So it's really, really fantastic.
Loved
I'm very it. Fortunate to be here.
Yeah. Is there a production you wish you could have seen in its original iteration?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question. For Ballet X or you're anyone?
Anyone.
Open-ended.
Yes.
Open-ended. Well, I was thinking about, you know, because art is always challenging society. And it would have been nice to be at the premiere of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring because it was so controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, people thought, what is this noise, right. You know, and we're celebrating it now, you know? So the transformative power of art, even though it might be, you know, a few decades or a millennia, you know, later when you are celebrated, when it is celebrated. But that's something very powerful. So anything that could have been like really, really controversial back in the day and now it's being celebrated.
It helps silence any critics very much so.
Very much so.
Because it just might not be the time.
Right, right.
That's great.
Everything with a grain of salt.
Is there a Philly-based dancer, any company, whom the world is sleeping on? Or that might be too close to home, too.
I'm going to... I don't know if I've really been in Philadelphia long enough to answer that question, because there are a lot of artists that I'm still getting to know and I'm still fanboying over them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot in Philadelphia Ballet, and also in Koresh and many different companies all over Philly. But I think what arts organizations all over the world, especially in the States and especially where we are now, with what's going on in our society and the shifts that are happening, I think organizations can think of this idea called co-opetition, where you're cooperating and you're competing together, which is something that is that's going to bring organizations together even more so, bring those audiences together, create more interesting work. And it's going to help us sort of hunker down in this moment right now.
I love
it. Sort of this co-opetition where we're coming together. We can still be our own entities, but we can sort of stick together even more. I think that's something that we don't want to sleep on too much.
I love that. I love that. Very well said. I think that is happening across the entire country as a solution to what's happening, right? Collective bargaining is real. What is your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
I'm sorry, I gotta go with my neighborhood. I'm in Point Breeze, and nice. Point Breeze is where it is. South Philly is really just something that I'm still unpacking. There's just so much going on. There's so much history. There's so many different people living there, and I know, you know, any sort of shift that's happening, especially towards gentrification, is always a bit tricky. But there is something that's happening down there that I just don't quite get, but I love it. I've never experienced it before. I've never lived in a neighborhood like that, so that's really fun. I would hope we get we are getting a grocery store.
Nice.
We're getting an Aldi, right?
We're getting an Aldi. Ooh. I don't shop at Aldi, but in Germany, Germans love Aldi.
Really?
And a few more restaurants down there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be good. Yeah.
It's picking up.
Yeah.
I love the Keith Haring mural down there.
Yes. I live right down the street from it. Yeah. It's really
beautiful.
Fantastic.
Cheesesteaks, Wit Whiz, or without?
I will have to admit, hopefully I can walk out of here with...
It's okay. It's all right. You're trusted.
I have only had, I think I've had two cheesesteaks since I've lived here. It's from, can I say where?
You can say.
Oh, what's the place on Snyder Boulevard? It's a small little shack. This is James Beard Award. Joe's Pork. John's Pork. It's across the street from Target. Like, Target is over there and IKEA.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. It is a little shack, too, and it is delicious.
John's Pork. No.
John's Roast Pork?
John's Roast Pork.
Nice.
14 East Snyder Avenue.
I don't think they have any whiz on there, cheese whiz on it, but they do a good seasoning on their meat. I'm thoroughly impressed.
This is a Lucinda question. Are you a Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, or Samantha?
Just kidding. You don't have to answer that.
I would have to say all of them, but maybe a little bit more Samantha.
Nice. Hey. Excellent. And so where can we find Ballet X both online and in real life?
You can go to our website, balletx.org, balletx.org. You can find us on social media. We're definitely on Instagram and Facebook and on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel as well. Yeah, our website also has access to a lot of our former productions. So you can go and look at our Ballet X Beyond, which is really, really exciting as well. So
awesome.
And I'll put links to all those in the show notes.
There's another thing that I want to kind of plug. It's our digital flash mob that's coming up called One Dance, One Philly, which is really, really exciting. It's a shared choreography. So on our YouTube channel, on our website, you will find a tutorial to learn a dance that will culminate later this summer in a digital flash mob. If you're at the Mann Center, we are going to have rehearsal for this flash mob, which is going to be really, really exciting. Our Dance Exchange, which is our educational program, our teaching artists from Dance Exchange, two of them came up with the work, and some of our company members have learned it. Our Dance Exchange students have learned it. We're just trying to get as many people involved with this as possible. It's going to be great.
I think I saw a video of this, or of part of it, on Instagram. Yeah. I spotted Eli in it.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
Friend exactly. of the pod.
Yes, yes. We have a few videos up right now on our Instagram. One where Eileen is learning the dance without seeing the dance. So she has her own interpretation. So that's a way to, you know, everyone can do it, whether you are, you know, a dance lover, a professional dancer, a retired dancer like myself, or you can learn it and you can be a part of this shared choreography. One dance, one Philly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Robert, will you learn the dance with me?
Yeah, we can do
it. Should we put it on the stories?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure, why not?
To see this.
I would love to do that. See this.
Yeah. You guys heard it here. He promised.
Bonded for life. I did want to go back. I know we might be running out of time, but
we're good, guys.
I wanted to touch a little bit more on BalletX's community partnerships and community initiatives. Mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit about what BalletX is doing with their community?
Yeah, with our community, we are partnering with many, many different organizations throughout the year, but specifically at the Mann, we are really trying to get as many people to experience this work and to experience the festival. It's a festival, festivities are fun and they're exciting and they bring people together. And we have an initiative for $25 tickets. That's one initiative that we have. We are also in five different public schools in Philadelphia, where we use the National Dance Institute curriculum or methodology for teaching third and fourth graders dance. And we go into five different schools twice a week. It's really, really exciting. We just actually finished this season with the kids, and that culminated in an end of the year performance at the Mandel Theater.
Wow.
Which was really, really exciting. So their parents and their family members and friends could come and see them dance on stage.
Oh,
and
wow.
They rocked it out. It was great. Really, I was backstage the entire time for all of the shows, just to see how they come together to make the dance happen. You know, they showed us how they warm up and some games that they play, and then they have a dance that they show us. And this was really, really exciting to see, because you have children from all backgrounds and with all different capabilities. And this is really, really fantastic to see how, you know, students are helping each other, plain and simple,
right,
and how invested they are, you know, and how expressive they can be.
Right.
So this is really, really exciting.
Oh, that's great. The community partnerships part is always it's my favorite.
Yeah, it's really, so really great. And we also have our Young Xers, which is really, really exciting.
And that is the Young Friends program.
That is the Young Friends program.
I signed us up, Robert.
Excellent.
Yes.
I'm all in.
Yes. This is really, really exciting.
Perfect.
I mean, I'm a little too old for it, but I still go to all these events anyway.
As you should. I deserve to.
For sure.
You're putting in the work.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. Meeting lots of different people, you know, young professionals who are interested in doing something with their time that is, you know, benefiting themselves and the world around them. That's really, really fantastic to meet people like that, like you guys.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Keelan, thank you so much for your time today. And everyone, please check out BalletX and pick up your tickets to The Mann on May 2nd and 3rd for the festival at The Mann. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Getting into this weekend, Robert?
Ooh, it's First Friday. So First Friday is going to be happening all over the city, but we're going to focus our First Friday in Old City. We've made some great friends, and we're going to go and check them all out.
Mm-hmm. We are hitting all of the galleries and topping it off with dinner.
Yes, we are. And we'll probably also see not just galleries, but we'll probably also make it to Meg's Ministry of Awe.
Oh, we are absolutely going to make it there.
Yeah.
last year you made fun of me for picking up, I drank.
A lot.
Okay. No, I was going to say, what is the one beer we used to drink in college?
Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yes. I had a PBR at Ministry of Awe last year.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. But we also participated in the art. We made part of the wallpaper.
I forgot about that.
Yes. Why do you forget?
I think it's going to be a warm weekend and can't wait to spend it going gallery to gallery.
Yes. And then on Saturday.
Oh, on Saturday, I'm going to Ballet X at the Man.
Yes.
Now, they have performances both on Friday and on Saturday.
This is their festival at the Man. And the show is going to be absolutely incredible. There are still tickets, I believe. So you should get them as soon as possible.
More things this weekend and beyond. South Street Live, a family-friendly, community-rooted event offering live performances, immersive art, local vendors, and cultural experiences, is scheduled for Saturday, May 3rd from noon till 6 at Front Street to 8th Street. And that's a production by Da Vinci Art Alliance. Cecilia Paredes, By My Side or Back of Me, opened about 2 weeks ago and continues to be on view until July 19th at the Print Center. There are two exhibitions at the Da Vinci Art Alliance that are opening this week. A solo exhibition by Dominique Smarco, Philly Dreamin' and Becomin', on view from tomorrow, May 1st through the 25th. And a BYO print portfolio exchange, What's Next?, on view from tomorrow, May 1st through the 25th.
Keep May 10th available for Works on Paper Gallery's show opening.
More to come as we're going to hear from Evan from Works on Paper next week.
Tickets for Wall Ball, the Mural Arts fundraiser on Friday, May 9th, are still on sale. I believe only general admission are left. This may sell out, so you'll want to get tickets as soon as possible.
Tickets for La Sylphide and Etudes, a Philadelphia ballet double bill for next week, are still available sparingly,
I think.
We have a cheat code for you. Follow our Instagram at Philly Has Heart to enter a giveaway for tickets for two for the Saturday night production and lock in the entry in our Instagram stories. And for an extra entry to the giveaway available only to our podcast listeners, DM our handle, again, at Philly Has Heart, the word Prima. That's P-R-I-M-A.
As always, Philly Has Heart.
And art. Robert.